Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast podcast for the week of August 8th, 2022. I'm your host, Zach, and this time we have Chris.
Hello.
And let's jump right in. Not as crazy a week as last week with all the HBO Max stuff. Although I mean, there's still like lots of Warner stuff happening, but yeah, not really as like a crazy week, but still a bunch of stuff to talk about. And let's kick things off with speaking of WB stuff. We got a trailer for the next Mortal Kombat Legends movie. So we've had two Mortal Kombat Legends animated movies, Battle of the Realms and Scorpion's Revenge, and now we're gonna get Snowblind, which I think we were talking before we started recording, Chris, but like it seems like it's a weird like Elseworlds Mortal Kombat, where it's not really based on any of the games, like because the Scorpion's Revenge and Battle for Realms were basically that they changed a bunch of stuff, but it was sort of like the story of like Mortal Kombat like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it was like a good retelling of what people knew already.
They kind of remixed some stuff that like they threw Quan Chi in there like right from the start and stuff, but like basically the same kind of general plot of like the first three Mortal Kombat games. But yeah, this one seems like it's kind of just doing its own crazy like alternate reality thing where it's starring Kenshi, who's being voiced by Manny Jacinto, and then Kano is like this like Mad Max style like warlord who's like rolling into his village with like all his like mercenaries.
Also, then, older Kano, not like yes. Young Kano.
Yeah, and he's got like he has a cyber arm and a cyber leg. Like he's been like he's got, like way more cyber parts than just his eye this time. And like Shang Tsung is like one of his like henchmen. I don't think they named the other characters, but like I think maybe why am I blanking on the guy with double blades like
Cabal.
I think Cabal is in there maybe,
and then I think like Scarlet. There's definitely the cowboy guy for
Aaron Black.
Yeah, Aaron Black.
I think he's in there. Yeah, but yeah, he's got this whole crew. They roll into Kenshi's village. Kenshi tries to stop them. He gets blinded, gets cast out, and then he finds a magic sword and a like kind of like retired master warrior, Kuai Liang, and then trains back up and then goes back to like fight Kano.
Who was Kuai Liang? Was he in something?
I'm sure he's probably in one of those. I don't know if this was like. Oh, he's Sub-Zero, one of the Sub-Zeros. So there must be like, oh, he must be like a retired like Sub-Zero or something, or like.
Okay.
Because there's definitely like the Sub-Zero definitely shows Sub-Zero, so maybe like Kuai Liang is like hasn't been Sub-Zero for a while, and then like it's like I'll be Sub-Zero again to help you.
I see. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Where. He kind of retired, I guess, and it's like, I just like always forget because Sub-Zeros are like, I guess, like whatever you're the top leader of that sect is, you're a Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's the second Sub-Zero. Quan Yang. So I'm like, that sounds familiar.
Well, the one with the scar from like Mortal Kombat 2, or like it was like the good brother.
Yeah, it's cool to see like these older takes on them, because it seemed like there's the trailer does show you a lot, a little too much in my opinion.
Yeah,
and it definitely is a departure of Mortal Kombat 10. It was the alternate versions of things where like. It's 10 the time travel. It's one of them where basically the new timeline. It was like
nine,
one of them where.
Yeah, 9, 10, and 11 are like the trilogy of like they. 9 kind of like like remixed everything, and then 10 was like, now it's all the kids, and
So 10 is the one. Yeah. I mean, it was cool because you got to see like Sub-Zero as like this new like leader, and then the world was sort of like at war with Outer World, and then you had just sort of like the different parts of the world that they either are like peaceful and like sort of outside of the war or like in the war zone. And then this just makes it seem like, I think this is Earth, right? Is this Earth or Outworld? I have no idea now.
I think Kano mentions Earth Realm, so I think he's taking over Earth Realm.
So that like medieval town that's a Mad Max world is like Earth Realm, like, that just probably got wrecked.
It's like that Nicolas Cage movie, the Prisoners of the Ghostland. It's just like this weird like mishmash of everything.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like, I guess after so many Mortal Kombats, like, yeah, the world just fell apart.
Mm-hmm. But definitely a change in art style too. Like it's the same kind of new art. It's like the kind of the new style that we started after like the big like Apocalypse War with DC animated. Like they like kind of revamped the look for like all the movies going forward, and then looks like Mortal Kombat is like following that. It's like this new I guess simpler than like the previous two, like look wise. Like it's like less like line. It's like more like less line work, like more stylized. I guess this is like a Green Banter. I'm hoping and assuming it's gonna be like as violent as the other two movies, because like those were like they had like X-ray moves and like people were getting to, like ripped apart constantly. So hopefully this maintains the R rating for these MK Legends movies.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely what a lot of people were surprised about. Like it was closer true to form, and honestly from what I've seen, a lot better than the Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh yeah, Scorpion's Revenge and Battle of Realms are like the two best like Mortal Kombat adaptations by far.
So I want this to continue that. It'd be a super weird thing if they stepped back and was like, oh, it's PG-13.
Yeah. Hopefully this maintains like the quality of the first two. It's the same director, so I mean, hopefully that means that they'll still be like same tone and everything. It's gonna be out October. October 9th is when it's on digital, and October 11th is when it's on 4K and Blu-ray. And then probably at some point, like a couple months after, it'll be on HBO Max. Because the other ones have done that. So either way, you can check it out. It's this fall or late this year or early next year. And so this is for trailers this week. So other news, we got a bunch of news about Disney Plus. They had their earnings call or some sort of news like announcement. And so that they revealed that they're going to be upping the price for Disney Plus, but they also are introducing a bunch of new bundles. So, and they also announced the pricing and the release date for that Disney Plus with ads option. So the cheaper ad version is going to be $7.99 a month. It's going to launch December 8th. If it's a kids or preschool show, it's not going to have ads, but everything else on the, if you're in that tier, it's going to have ads.
And that's cool that they at least catered to the kid version.
And then the premium non-ads version is currently $7.99. It's going to go up to $10.99 on December 8th. And then he also introduced, they're going to have a Disney and Hulu bundle for $10 a month. The Disney Hulu ESPN bundle is going to stay the same, which is $12.99. And then they're going to have the Hulu and Live TV is going to have a $70 a month with ads. I think there's only like one no ads Hulu Live TV bundle. I think it's like $80 a month or something right now. So you want a slightly cheaper like cable basically with Hulu included. And then also, I think that also includes Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, I believe, as well. So,
yeah, because that's what I want.
I don't know why you like. I still don't, like. Why would you not do like
if, like the Hulu bundle? The, I think the Hulu is bundle. The best.
Yeah, still. I mean, and if you just want like Disney and Hulu, like that seems like the best op. Like it's I mean, it's Hulu with ads, but like it's still like the best deal probably. Or just like do the ESPN one. Then even if you like, I guess the only reason you wouldn't get that one is like if you will never ever watch anything on ESPN. But
yeah, I mean, it really depends on the family because it's like Disney Plus only makes sense when you have like a lot of younger members in your family. And right now, unless you're like really hardcore about Disney, it's like the rate of how much stuff comes out is so bizarre. Because it's like, oh, Doctor Strange came out a month and here it is. And then it's like, okay, what about like Thor? It's like, nope, never. Okay, not even talking about it. It's not even on the table for discussion of when this is coming out.
Yeah.
I'm so assuming it's like, that kind of makes me
probably next month or October. So it'll probably be up there.
Really?
It's usually like it seems like it's like 2 months after they're on the service.
Yeah, but you know, at least like HBO Max gives you like a heads up. It's usually like 40 days and it'll be there. Disney is just like whatever, like, hey, it's a bad month, like no one gets any updates. For a while, Disney stocks are kind of like taking a dip just because people were just not sure what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I could see Disney Plus trying to pull a fast one. And they are in a way. But again, the Disney bundle is like your best bet. I don't know why I mean, that just tells me the bundle is probably going to get like reduced later too. Like, or, you know, like change. So is this like inflation? Is this their like rate? they're just gonna justify
those bundle, those bundle, like the Disney and Hulu bundle and the Disney and ESPN. Those are all the cheap, like so it's Disney Hulu for $10 a month. That's Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads.
I see.
So they're having bundles, all kinds of bundles with the cheap, like the ad supported Disney Plus, but then the other, like the current ones are going to be Disney Plus premium no ads is staying at $11 a month. The Disney bundle is $20 a month, and then if you're currently doing the Disney Plus like Hulu ESPN bundle, that's also staying the same price for right now. But yeah, lots of options in December for however you want to do Disney Plus, I guess. And apparently a lot of people are doing it because they also announced that their subscriber numbers have surpassed Netflix. So Disney Plus, I believe, is the top streaming service in the like U.S. or the world right now. They have 221.1 million subscribers. And Netflix has 220.67 million global subscribers. So yeah, Disney Plus is the biggest streaming service in the world right now.
I wonder if they can get like a bonus.
I believe that includes that also includes like
Hulu,
ESPN Plus, and Hulu.
Yes.
Because like if you break it down, like Disney Plus, it's by itself has 152 million subscribers. Then ESPN Plus has 22.8, and Hulu has 46.2 million. So yeah, if you combine them all together, because they're all Disney stuff, then yeah, they have the more subscribers than Netflix.
I think Netflix needs to do is buy like another streaming thing, like Tubi,
yeah.
or like Pluto. I mean, the streaming wars getting more aggressive.
Yeah, I think the thing is too though is like Disney Plus has more subscribers now, but I don't think they make as much money per subscriber as Netflix. Is what I read, because Netflix, I believe, is like all their plans are sort of higher priced than like most of the Disney stuff. So, like I think like the what's the top tier Netflix right now is like is it 20 a month now?
Is that for the streaming and the DVD renting?
I think this is I think the Netflix subscription is just like Netflix like streaming. It does include like the disc plan. So I think it's 220 million like streaming customers. But yeah, Disney Plus doing pretty good. So and I wonder how many people are gonna add when these bundles launch in December. Probably quite a few more, probably.
Yeah. Imagine now that kind of tells everyone they'd be adding new bundles in the future for all these streaming things, because if Disney get away with it, they can too.
So moving on to some other news. We got some news about Sonic the Hedgehog 3. We got the release date for that movie. And it's going to be out next December, December 20th, 2024. So I think the last Sonic has come out like in February. So now it's definitely a big shift. Like it's going to be like a Christmas 2024 movie. And it's pretty much puts it head to head with Avatar 3. If that does stick to that release dates.
Yeah. At this point I'm watching Sonic over Avatar.
I don't even believe like Avatar Way of Water is coming out this year. The only way I'll believe it is if I'm sitting in a theater like ready for it to come on.
Did they even film anything? I don't even know like where they were with that update.
I think they were shooting them all at the same time. I mean, obviously like Avatar 2 is coming out in December this year. But I think they were like Lord of the Ringsing it, where it's like they were shooting 2 and 3 at the same time. So I think 3 is probably on the right track and will be ready by then. It won't be like the 2 where it just like kept getting delayed for 10 years or whatever, however long it was. But we also got news like Paramount is also they're rebooting Smurfs again. So there's a new Smurfs movie. It's gonna be out February 14th, 2025. Which is a ways off. I think that's going to be a like fully animated new Smurf movie.
Like, is it going to be that CGI, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like similar to like the last one, which is like Smurfs the Lost Village. But those are all like Sony movies, but yeah, I don't think it's gonna be like a live action it's animation hybrid like the Neil Patrick Harris movies were.
I forgot about those.
There's two of those.
I forget. Was that the one where like
Hank Azaria was their own entity?
No, but they were in their own universe, right?
Yes, and then they came to like New York.
And then there's two of them.
There's two of those movies. Yeah, there was like Neil Patrick Harris, Hank Azaria was Gargamel, Katy Perry was Smurfette. Like, there's two of those, and Sony rebooted. Then they rebooted it, and they Sony did like Smurfs: The Lost Village, which is fully CG, no connection to the previous two movies. It was all just 100% Smurfs, and like it was. I think it was kind of more like the original cartoon, but now Paramount has like rights apparently, so they're developing an animated musical Smurfs movie.
Interesting.
But yeah, so Christmas, yeah, get ready for more Paramount stuff coming up. Have you seen Sonic 2 yet, Chris?
I haven't yet.
Yeah, you should check it out soon. It's good. Get on that Paramount Plus. It's on there. So we also got some news and some new looks at Cobra Kai Season 5, which is going to be coming up here in about a month. I think it's September, middle of September, I believe. Oh, December 9th, the beginning of September. We got basically got confirmation. I think it's been rumored. I think everyone assumed it, but like we got, I think, the first official confirmation that Sean Kanan, aka Mike Barnes, is back for Karate Kid 3.
Like, wasn't he the reason that like Cobra Kai couldn't enter more like tournaments?
It's been, I need to watch like Karate Kid 3 again before this new season.
Well, they don't like, mention it because it's I read online real quick because I kind of forgot who he was, to be honest. So then like he, because that's when they were trying to franchise Cobra Kai in number 3. And then Danny had to defeat them and reveal that basically Cobra Kai had no honor. And then like Kyle Reese and Terry Silver were. It's really disgraced.
Yeah, well, that was the whole like Kerry Silver was like corrupting Daniel to be Cobra Kai, but then he's like, oh, by the way, here's Mike Barnes. He's gonna like destroy you. Like this is our master plan. Like,
wasn't it the thing too that like Mike Barnes died in the movie? That it's like the surprise he's not dead. It was just like, haha.
I don't think so.
It was weird. It was like. They wanted to turn Danny to the dark side of karate.
Yes.
And then Mike Barnes was like hired to be like anti Danny Caruso, even though Mike Barnes was like way more experienced. He was like some sort of like pro fighter for years.
Oh, I think Silver told like Miyagi and Daniel that Kreese was dead, and he's like, oh no, by the way, Kreese is here. He's been training Barnes like to kill you and destroy you. Like,
okay, I forgot, like one of them was dead. It was like, yeah, that it was just like surprise,
because Kreese called Terry and was like, hey, I need help like getting revenge on this these two Miyagi-Do guys, and he's like, all right, you go leave town and we'll say you're dead, and then I'll like corrupt.
Say you're dead. I'll corrupt, no proof. No nothing.
I'll corrupt Daniel-san and like turn him into like the dark side of karate.
Yeah, that's why I was like, it's just weird dark side karate change.
Yeah. But yeah, he's back. So, but yeah, Mike Barnes is back. Probably gonna be part of Cobra Kai and like helping Terry Silver, but who knows, maybe it could be like a crazy twist where like he like is like, I'm done with you guys, like I'm gonna help Daniel-san.
I don't know, I feel like it's gonna be
are you caught up
with Cobra Kai? No, I'm watching like bits, but yeah, my theory is that it makes sense. It's like an anime where basically he has to be the villain until basically no choice to join Daniel.
Yeah. Well, basically, like season 5 is basically like Cobra Kai is like unrestrained. Like they basically just do like they're just like fully taking over. They're gonna like opening like dojos all over the valley now. So. But yeah, I'm caught up. I'm definitely super excited for season 5. That's like, who would have thought Cobra Kai would be as good as it is? It's just like, it's so crazy that like, it seems just like the worst idea you could possibly do. It's like this super fun, awesome show. So yeah, definitely gonna check that out in September when it comes out. And then last bit of news is we got some more casting news for Fargo season 5. Which I'm trying to remember. I think the last season was like 24. It's been a while. It's been like at least I think 4 or 5 years since like the Chris Rock episode or season. But yeah, season 5 is coming. It's set in like basically present day. Like 2019 is when it's setting. So like Fargo's been doing like they for like their whole like run so far, they've been like flip-flopping, so it's like it's a current like modern season, and it's like a flashback season. So like last season,
so they go back in time.
Yeah, so like last season was like 1979, or no, it was 1950s, I think. with like the Kansas City Mafia and stuff. And now, but now we're back to like 2019. The main stars are going to be John Hamm, Juno Temple, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. And it's basically like, I think not really any like plot details, but it's basically like it's going to involve some sort of like kidnapping. In like present day, whatever, like in like Fargo or in that area. But along with those three, we got Joe Keery from Stranger Things. Our beloved Steve Harrington is going to be playing Gator Tillman. This is his character's name. Lamorne Morris from like New Girl and a bunch of other stuff is playing Whit Farr. Is his character's name. And then Risha Morjani, who she was in like Never Have I Ever on Netflix. She's playing a character named Indira Olmsted. And yeah, and I think this is coming out next year, maybe. I think they're shooting it right now, and then so hopefully on like FX/FX on Hulu next year. Noah Hawley's back to like write everything and direct and executive produce some episodes. But yeah, I'm excited for more Fargo. Did you what have you watched for Fargo, Chris?
I've only read about it and like seen bits, but I have not seen much. I know I'm behind on Fargo.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think they kind of like it's like the first two seasons are like definitely still the best ones, but I mean, three was fun because they had like dueling Ewan McGregor's, and then the Chris Rock season was pretty good. But yeah, hopefully this season I'm excited to see like John Hamm enter the Fargo universe and stuff. So. Yeah, so hopefully we'll get more some more news about that soon, and maybe get like a release date and stuff like that for season 5. And yeah, so that's it pretty much for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, you and I both saw Prey this weekend, which was apparently the most watched Hulu thing ever over the weekend, or at least like most watched premiere ever for Hulu.
Yeah, just because I guess it was like universally like a cool idea.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about it, and then I think it definitely lived up to it. Like the old Dark Horse comics would just all the time would just be like, oh, what if the Predator was like fighting Civil War soldiers or like fighting like in World War One? Like just shows up in the middle of World War One, like no man's land, and there's like murdering people. Like so, like the comics did it all the time. So this is like definitely feels like a kind of like an homage sort of to like that. Like it's like let's just throw Predator in like a crazy time period and see what happens.
Yeah, it's like a fun one-off tale that doesn't feel like it needed a lot of buildup. Like it's sort of just like this is a crazy idea, run with it.
Yeah, I mean some cool tie-ins to like the rest of the franchise.
Some, but very.
Yeah,
I think it's a little weird, but I'm fine with it. Like I didn't mind it for what it was.
I appreciated the acknowledged Predator 2, which is kind of underrated. I feel like that's like now it's like the third best Predator movie, because I think Prey is probably the second best Predator movie now. But
I mean, I get it. It's best way to describe it. Like you basically have to forgive some of the logic to get there, because it makes it seem like this Predator is it the first Predator that showed up to Earth. Maybe, but like I didn't need to know that. Like it could have been like any version of the Predator, but they chose a version that hasn't really been seen before in movies and even in comics. I mean,
yeah,
you got to go deep for something like this for the comics.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a more like savage tribe of Predators or something.
Yeah, like it is a different sect that doesn't believe in technology as much, but
yeah,
still believes in technology. That's the part I'm talking about. Like the logic part sort of falls apart.
Well, I just liked it as like sort of like, oh, this is like, it's like 300, like in like 300 years they'll develop like better technology, but like this is like what the Predators had in like you know like 300 however many years before they showed up in like South America. Like this is what they had for technology. Which it's like still like way more advanced than what anyone else like in the time period has, but like
it's like
primitive compared to like what you see in like the future Predator movies. Because he's definitely relying on like his like wrist blades and like his spear and like a shield, and then like instead of like a laser blast for like his targeting lasers, it's like each laser has like a little like metal bolt that shoots out for it.
Does he have to like fetch those bolts?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he just says like he just has a supply of them or something.
Dude, I mean, like that's the question. I'm like, all right, like I can't. You can't think about that. You just kind of have to go with the, you know, just the movie logic, which is fine. Like if you turn off your brain, you really get to enjoy the movie a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you ask like questions like that, you're like, oh, like. All right, so it's a bolt thing, but it's like smart bolts, which if it wasn't a smart bolt thing, I would have been fine. But the fact that it is a smart bolt leads me to some questions.
Well, it seems like it just goes wherever you point the laser, it like, shoots a bolt there. So it's not like we'll get into it.
We're not going too far in yet because let's just build up the story. But yeah, we'll talk about that. So yeah, why don't you talk about like how the movie like starts, like this Indian tribe and the main characters.
Yeah, so it's 1719, right? And it's the Comanches, and then Amber Midthunder, who I thought was awesome on Legion. I don't know if, like, and then she was also in that Liam Neeson movie, The Ice Road, like last year. She didn't get kick as much ass as she did in Legion, but or here, but still pretty good there. But yeah, she's like this Comanche. She wants to be a warrior, but then the way that, like the tribe works is like no, she has to. They want her to be like a, you know, like a gatherer, just gather like plant vegetables and plants, and you know like learn medicine. But her brother's like a warrior, but she's trying to prove herself. And then, yeah, then the Predator shows up and starts, like, killing animals. Like, increasingly more deadly animals.
I do like that the Predator observes. Like, he comes to Earth and not really knowing what to fight. He's just sort of like,
yeah,
that seems like badass. I'll fight that.
Yeah, he just sees what's the most violent, like, dangerous animals. And it's like, all right, I'm gonna get that guy's skull now. Which I will say, one of the nitpicks is that the animals don't look great.
No. Even the bears kind of look like the bear.
Everyone said the bear looks the worst. The rattlesnake looks not great. The wolf is okay.
The wolf was okay.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's pretty funny in that one scene where like everything is killing each other in like this one plane where it's like,
yes,
was it like an ant meets a rat, a rat meets an owl.
Yeah, it's like literally like the food chain is literally happening
around. Yeah, yeah. It's just, like I've been outdoors and it's just like I've never seen that happen like that quickly. Like, are these animals not? I get the ant not knowing about the rat, but then it's like not the snake. Is that where everyone just eats? Like that's just the killing field?
Yeah. It's the food chain forest. You just go out
there. Yeah. And then I didn't mind a lot of the Native American tribal stuff. Really cool. I should do like the like watching their society, watching how like they treat the main star. Because basically, yeah, it's like you see, it's a lot of show don't tell shots. But they don't talk about it, but it's a lot of like, you know, visuals and a lot of wide shots of the area and how like you know, she wants the lead, and or not even lead. First, she just wants to be respected as a warrior first. The leading part comes later. Though it's kind of weird. I did feel kind of like watching it where they're on a hunt for the tiger that has taken away a tribe member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a good tracker, so she's able to find like she leads the band of warriors to find this missing person in her tribe. But is it me, or did they just not address the fact that they rescued one guy but then lost another guy? Like, didn't the tiger kill one of the other guys?
I think so, yeah.
They just don't talk about it.
Because, yeah, they had the one, like, two of the guys brought the other guy back to the village, and then, like, Naru and her brother went off, and then she, like, speared it, but then got knocked out, and then the brother killed the mountain lion.
You forgot about the other guy that was in the tree with her.
Yeah.
That guy dead, right? Like, he got pulled down, and then he was mauled, and then he yelled.
I feel like there's, like, some, like, they don't really get, like, mention it, but, like, when, like Naru's brother comes back, and like I feel like it must have been like the mother of one of the guy that got killed was just like gives him like a sad look, and he's just like nah. Yeah, but like he guy gives like a nah, he's like he didn't make it or something kind of look. So
I didn't notice that. I was just like,
I don't even know if that was it, but it seemed like if it was, it was like the most, it was like super super subtle.
Yeah, I just remember like thinking like, hey, there's like another part of this movie. I'm like, where's this part? Like, why not address this? But a lot of the like story isn't about the predator. It's really just about the honor. And then they kind of insert really quick clips about the predator kind of getting ready and hunting animals.
Yeah.
Which I was fine with. I like the fact that I enjoy the Native American story part to the point where it's like, oh yeah, it's a predator movie. Like, let's go back to that issue.
Like, yeah, it's a lot of like it's them like mostly like Naru, like she's like realizing what is out there actually, which is kind of, I mean, it's we know, so it's a little bit like, all right, maybe can we get to it, like, because it's I don't know who would like be watching this and they'll be like, oh, what? I don't know what's going on. Like, what is this thing in the woods? Like,
the movie does make it seem like we don't know what a Predator movie is.
Yeah. It definitely was nowhere near as bad as this, but like the second G.I. Joe movie, they set up in like the end of the first one where like Zartan's the president, and then they spend the entire second movie like the Joes are like just slowly trying to figure out, like the audience knows because it was at the end of the first movie, like we know like fucking Zartan's the president, but like the whole, like most of that second G.I. Joe movie is like, what's going on, like is there something going on with the president? Like, it's just like, we know, figure it out, you idiots. Like,
yeah it's not even like a twist. I feel like the twist would have came halfway through when the Predator shows up. That'll be cool. Because even in like the first Predator movie, I think the first 20 minutes is not a Predator movie. It's just like an action movie, right?
Yeah, it's just a straight up Arnold action movie. They just like go to the village and wipe out the gorillas or whatever. And then.
Well, this one I think is a little different because I think like there's no action sequence at the beginning. It's just like a lot of like her looking at things and then figuring out the lion issue. But before the lion, it was the predator.
Yeah.
Who was watching the lion thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, like, there was a point where I saw those dead buffalo. So at some point, the main character is on the trail because she suspects, like, the lion wasn't the worst problem. Something scared the lion.
Yeah.
So she starts to like travel to what she thinks is like where this monster's hunting. But there's a shot where she comes across all these skinned dead buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of laughed because in my head I didn't think about the like poaching area. I thought it was just like the predator was going around like murdering these buffalo and just like like poking at them and then seeing if they would attack and just sort of like.
But they still had their skulls, so they went with the Predator. Like Predator would rip their skulls out and like did his like skin melting stuff on it.
Yeah, I didn't think that. Like I said, I was just like, what? Does the Predator hunt this? Like, because it's supposed to show that like it's escalating, but the French hunters become like a fun like idiot group that know they really show
cannon
that
fodder.
Yeah, cannon fodder, but you love to watch them getting slaughtered.
Yeah,
and then like that was cool. Them getting against the Predator was like a whole different movie at that point.
Mm-hmm. Like the burned out forest scene where like the Predator just starts destroying them.
Yeah, yeah, really cool.
Yeah. It's a cool setting. Like you get to see like tons of like cool Predator. Like he like cuts a guy's head off with his shield, and like he's got his net comes into play. Like we're just like crushes the guy to death, and then like
all the basic versions of things the Predator is known for. You see it. You know, yeah. He doesn't have the plasma gun. He doesn't have
the disc.
The shield is like, different. The disc, yeah, he doesn't have the disc thing. I don't know. Here's the thing too. I'm so used to a certain Predator story that I don't know how this fits into the lore. Where does that mean the Alien versus Predator movies don't make sense anymore? Like because of like how their cannons don't work, or maybe
I think Alien Predator is like in their own. Continuity, like they're not part of like the main universe or anything.
So like the Predators don't know about aliens then. Like it kind of makes sense why like aliens are apex predators in the galaxy. So like they kind of have to kind of fight each other just because it's like they're the worst and then they're the like best. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And that's why I'm like, oh, so besides humans, what else do the Predators fight?
Yeah,
because you can't like get this good without sort of like having like recognition of like weaponry and stuff. It's like half the time the Predators are taking out anybody that sort of like has anything sharp, right? And then it's like, oh no, it recognizes guns.
Yeah, if you have a weapon, then it's gonna attack you. But if...
yeah, but what if you're just like a rock? Cause you know.
I do like that because like flintlock pistols, like they're like it's just like it's like one shot and then they have to like try to reload and the Predator's just like this Predator is just like has like a little bit of a snark where he's just like, oh you idiots, and he just like walks up to them and just murders them while trying to reload and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really cool scene, really cool idea that like now the Native Americans are bait to the Predator and the stupid like fur traders have tried to capture the Predator for reasons.
Yeah, it's like we can sell this. with our beaver pelts.
I know, it's like, all right, well, do you want to buy the skin or this like invisible monster? It's all right. I would have liked it if a few fur traders were picked off from the beginning. And then they kind of turn their eyes because it seems like they just were in America and then goes, yeah, we've been seeing this like creature and we want it. It's like, can you show me that? Not just introduce me to this weird Jack Sparrow character who's just part of your crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that's supposed to be the captain. That's supposed to be the guy who owns the flintlock. Have you read the original Dark Horse comic that like the captain was based off of?
I haven't read that one. I've only read like Concrete Jungle, I think is the one I've read. So
I guess we'll take it aside. In the original comic, it's supposed to be the original elder Predator that shows in Predator 2. Mm-hmm. One of his first hunts was in America. Oh no, not the America, like the Caribbean. And there's a captain there who feels guilty for stealing, like from like killing or robbing like a church. And his pirate crew doesn't give a crap. So they like mutiny against the captain, who basically said like, you know, we should turn this, we should do whatever, we should like be better pirates. They end up like killing, mortally injuring the pirate captain, and then the Predator shows up and starts hunting everyone, and then like the mortally injured captain has like a last stand with the Predator, where basically he earns the Predator's respect. Just because it was like, yeah, like we took on like a whole group of people, like the Predator was there to hunt, found worthy prey, also like a worthy, like a worthy warrior in its own way. So that's why the flint pistol meant something to that Predator. This movie, like, a little different, because it's just like randomly like, hey, here's the same pistol. It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. It was used, which was fine in the story, because it's cool. I like the fact that the French fur trader was like spoken to as like, oh, I'm like the line of, oh, I'm killing you, like you just don't know it yet. Very badass, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't understand how the Predator like became like an imbecile. Like, he knows that this area is full of like other people and things. Like, don't just start like bragging about your kill. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm like, what's happening? Like, it wasn't, I mean, it's a clever trick, but it just seemed so like they just had to do this real quick. Like, this like shot, this like cool setup that I feel like if they took the time, it would have been more dramatic. Or even like, she didn't need the pistol. The point is like, don't rely on technology, rely on like brute force. And because the Predator movies, at least at the core, has always been like, you don't need alien technology. You just need like clever wits and then sort of what you know best with. But she learned that pistol, I don't know, in an hour.
Yeah. Well, there's also like the like, it's like the roots that like make your blood colder.
Yeah. Which and that's cool. Like, that's fine. I didn't mind. That was like a one shot gimmick.
Yeah, I think you just gotta like, yeah, just suspend your disbelief a little bit with that. Just like, oh, okay, I guess. Because
no, I was fine with that. I was fine with that. I was fine with her magic axe thing that she made. Mm-hmm. That was made out of like invincible tree bark rope.
Yeah,
I was fine. Like, I turned my brain off and I was like, all right, I want to enjoy this. And it was even more surprisingly better than I thought it would be, just because. And I liked her being a badass warrior, like. Her being like an acrobatic Native American warrior princess was cool. Like, she kicked ass and she looked great doing it. It didn't seem like a terrible CGI like shot or a lot of like stunt work that basically they, you know, gave a wig to a person and said, try their best. Like, it looked pretty convincing. It looked fluid.
Well, I think she was the main person on Legion, like when they actually had like fight scenes on Legion, which was rarely, but whenever they did, like, she was the one main one like kicking everyone's ass. So,
you know, it's funny. A lot of people were like, "Is this like Aubrey Plaza?" And it's like, "Oh, it's like,
no, she's on the show with Aubrey Plaza."
I know, yeah. It's, but like, yeah, she was like an amazing actress, and I enjoy like. The story of her journey, you know, she's not supposed to be Arnold. It's a different take on a warrior that basically is very like clever, is very like observant, mm-hmm. and just kind of lucks her way sometimes, like either through her like magical dog or the terrain,
yeah.
or like, I don't know, like, sort of running away. She runs away a lot. Like, the more I think of the beginning of the movie, and then even when she injures the like lion, but she gets mad at her brother for like the kill and the respect, like, that was kind of weird. Even I was just like, why is she like this pissy? Like, you she was scared and she ran. Like, it wasn't like, you know, her brother pushed her out of the way and stuff. Like, you know, the movie made it seem like, at least her like emotions for that part made it seem like she was furious.
She against her brother. She fully had her shot that she fell out of a tree and hit her head, so she got knocked out. So
yeah, that's not her brother's fault. Her brother just happens to be like faster at that moment. Mm-hmm. But I do like that their relationship. Like, mm-hmm. I really like their fight together, but it was pretty. I don't know. It was a very weird sacrifice play, just because he was already talking like a movies thing. Like, it was almost like he was on a landmine.
Yeah.
You know, that was, I thought that could have been a little bit meaningful more than just, all right, let's have a long ass talk about like, you got this, you're better, blah blah blah. Just like, hey, hey, you know what's behind you, right? Like, you're talking as if you can't do anything about what's happening to you right now.
Yeah, I did like that he got to say the if it bleeds, we can kill it line, which is like,
yeah,
that's the best callback of the whole movie.
Was that early?
It was. I think it was in. It was after like the. Was it after the burned out forest or before? When they're like, because I think because they got injured during the fight and they see the blood. It's like, oh, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Like.
Yeah, because he was bleeding, and then eventually, yeah, I think it was like. Right after.
Well, there was a scene where Naru and the Predator both got injured and they're like healing themselves in their like different ways. Like the Predator was using his like crazy like laser burner that like cauterizes his wounds.
He was using herbs.
Like herbs, yeah.
Which is fine. Again, I like the, you know, the Native American methods, the very traditional, and then the crazy like fight style, the almost like Legolas arrow trick shotting that the brother was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. Like, I just feel like at that down pause where it's like the dramatic tension moment, it wasn't the Carl Weathers play, you know, like it wasn't like getting chopped up. That's why I was like, oh, it was badass, but it felt like it could have been different. Yeah, overall though, like leading up to that, my biggest thing was that the Predator kind of gets stupid by the end. And it's not like in the original Predator movie, he can kind of see some of the tricks coming and Arnold basically has to improvise.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then that's how he kills, not even kills the Predator. He just mortally wounds the Predator. This version, I think she knows she can't fight it in a straight up like brawl.
Yeah.
She can kind of trick it, but the trick that she gets isn't even hers. Because what if, like, the Predator knows about what's happening and does something completely different? Like, you know, like, doesn't call his gun. Maybe wants to make it more personal than just trying to shoot her. Or, like, I don't know, uses a bow staff? Like, his, like, spear stick? So
yeah, I feel like they put like they put, it's a little bit of a hat on a hat, because like she like tricks him into like going into like the peat moss smog. Yeah. Which if that would have been like, yeah, just trick him into like going in there and like he gets sucked out and gets killed. But then it's like, but then she also like, it's like she uses the mask and like sets the mask up, and then but how is it like triggered like remotely? like because wouldn't he be triggering it? So why, like, he triggered it on himself? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He did that. He's the one that,
yeah, shot a bullet,
caused it.
Yeah,
is it? But it's not as like what, like
it was
cool, but it was also like dumb, because I was like, wait, like, wouldn't you know about the laser that you're pointing at your head? And like, you're, it's like, why use your weapon that you know basically needs to have two parts, you know? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, even if she just if she wore it for like the front, like if she like figured out how to wear it and like shot him with it or something, that would have been like, it would have been like slightly better than like it just sits on the ground and it's like goes off somehow. Like,
yeah, yeah. So you see what I mean? Like, it seemed very like conveniently placed. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't have done that. Like, I really wish it. Yeah, right. Like, maybe she wears the mask. Maybe she surprise whips it out. Like, he thinks he has it, and it turns out it's not. It's a mask she made or whatever. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
that would have been something. Or maybe, you know, something from the beginning of the movie where, I don't know, she puts it on the dog, you know?
Yeah.
The dog wears the mask. I don't know. She hides it in a bear carcass. And like, it just seemed very gimmicky with the mask. And I feel like maybe she pushed him off the edge of a cliff, or she dropped him off a tree, you know, like,
yeah,
that's a more comes full circle. But either way, it's still pretty fun. Not the best climactic fight in a Predator thing. I think, I don't know, of the Predator movies, what's your best, like, Arnold dropping a tree on a Predator is pretty cool, but, like, again, it's because he knew, like, he had no weapons. Danny Glover having a knife fight with a Predator, a little weird, but okay. Mm-hmm. Predators, Adrian Brody beating a Predator with a bone.
Yeah.
Brutal, but...
And whatever the fuck happened in the Predator, which I just tried to, like erase out of my mind because it was so bad.
Oh my god! Didn't they like put a grenade on it and then they blew it up and they were
on the ship and then they'd break the force field on the ship or something and like.
No, but the Predator itself also had like some sort of like protection thing on it because they basically had to keep firing at it.
Yeah, well, because that wasn't even the Predator; it was like the Super Predator. Like,
yeah, that's it. Super Predator.
Yeah.
Super Predator was so weird. So yeah, this was fine because it's like, yeah, I just read better comics. Maybe that's why I'm sort of a snob towards it, but otherwise, like. Tension, build up, still was okay. Like, you know, it was competent. It was enjoyable if you didn't think so much. I thought maybe the axe rope would be coming in a lot more. Thought maybe she, like, uses that to trigger something.
Yeah.
I mean, she just fights the Predator with it, so.
And she's in, when she fights the rest of the French trappers.
Right. Again, it was like more meant for the French trappers. That's why I'm like half the time I'm kind of distracted that this is a Predator movie just because the French trappers take up so much of her growth. So she kind of uses them as like a character buildup, and then she's like deadly enough for the Predator. Because before that, it seemed like she knew how to like do any of these things, like. You know, like there's no indication. But I guess because she's so mad, she's just like, fuck it. Like now I'm just this ultimate badass.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm fine with that. Like I've seen other movies do it with even less enjoyable protagonists. So this is fine.
Yep. And I thought it was pretty great. I think definitely for me, it's like a best Predator movie behind the first one, obviously, because you're never going to top the first one, but this is definitely second. And then I put probably Predator 2 after this one.
Yeah, I'm going to say that too. I'm going to say Predator, Prey, Predator 2.
Predators is so much more, is better than the Predator is like easily the not kind of like the Alien vs. Predator movies, like the Predator is by far the worst one. It's so bad.
So clumsy. Just because
Do you remember like Sterling K. Brown, like you don't even understand how he died? Like,
I didn't.
It's so dark and just like it just happens like so quickly, just like, wait, what the fuck just happened? Did he blow his own head off?
That happens to this Predator.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Like that's how I was like, I wish it wasn't this. Did they just fucking steal this weird shot from the Predator and put it in? Yeah, it's like extra a few more extra steps, but essentially the Predator's own gun killed the Predator.
Yeah.
I would have liked it if maybe it wounded it and then she ran up and did like a kill thing, or like she used the gun as like a distraction and then she was able to kind of like get close and like jam like her axe in its face, you know, like that.
Or just let him sink into the freaking swamp and die. Like it's fine. Like you set it up earlier and then he doesn't have the cleverness that she does. And then like
right.
Gets sucked down into the mud and dies.
There is something better about it.
And then maybe I don't know if this Predator has like the nuclear explosion wrist thing. I don't think he does, but like
I think he used it up for his bomb in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Because he dropped his bracelet that was doing the countdown, but it's so primitive. Instead of like the cool like I don't know what is it called, like the electrical like outlines and stuff before the explosion. Like, it just sort of detonated like a basic bomb.
Yeah.
So there was a version of the bracelet that they had, which I was fine with, because that was like, all right, so this is the oldie version of it.
And I hope
drowning. I don't know. I don't like the predator drowning. It makes more sense, but if she like tied a rock to him and threw it down and it drowned him, I'm fine with that. But if he legit just like, oops, like sucked to the bottom.
Well, they had a whole fight. Like, you have the whole, like, they're having a fight before then she like, but then she like lures him into like the pit, and then like they're fighting and trying like, and like battling, and then like, but then she knows where the like swamp is, and then like lures him into the swamp, and he's just like, oh shit, okay.
No, right, because he falls in the pit, and she thinks that, and he just sort of rises out of there.
Yes, that's what I was, yes,
dude, yeah. That's where I'm like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it seemed, that's a, oh, man, I'll explain this more, like, because I mean, that's where I remember him, like, yeah, he just sort of gets up out of the quicksand, like, a step, and I'm like, I don't even know how he's doing that, but whatever. And then where it's like, oh, she's trying to line him up for the gun, and I'm like, is it going to kill him or wound him or distract him? And then the fact that, like, he perfectly points it at, like, he gauntlet points it at the girl, but the laser beam is, like, on his head, like, in a perfect, like, brain spot. And I was like, would you know, like, to duck, or maybe, like, because it doesn't follow the target, like, what you're pointing at, it just follows where the light is. So I'm like, just move your head. You don't have to. It's not tracking your head. It's just tracking where your head is. Mm-hmm. Move your head. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, what are you doing, Predator? Like, it seemed like forever, because he like, it has time to like look at the girl, look at the light, look back at the girl, like look back at the light, and was like, move your head. Like, your dart bullet is like a Nerf ball. Like, it's making like a whizzing sound in the air. Like, you have time. It's going like, it's going around a tree. Like, it does a travel trip before it hits its target. So again, I wish it could have been a little more cohesive at the end. Granted, even in the Predator thing, it's not like Schwarzenegger dropped a log on another enemy and remembered, like, this would be a cool tactic to do later on. So there are surprising things. I just think it's a little bit better if the Predator didn't get killed by its own gun, because it just reminds me of the Predator.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I'm mad about that.
Hopefully we get more, like, hopefully with the success of this movie, like, you know, the biggest Hulu thing of all time, like, I would just love more, just like, just keep doing these like crazy like time
mythology
period, like,
movies.
Yeah, like Civil War soldiers versus the Predator, like, you know, like Samurai World versus War the Predator.
One.
Yeah, like
World War One soldiers versus the Predator. Yeah. I don't care what side, just let it happen.
Yeah,
I mean, even that Predator short film that was medieval Predator, I like that. See, but that was like a very pure into the basic story, where you don't need to know a lot about the character, the Predator, like, you don't need to know a lot. You just say, hey, here's a cool like fight between an alien and humans. You mainly know about the humans because you just guess about their equipment.
Just one really good main character, then they have to use like their like whatever weapons are available in that time period to fight the Predator, who is like way crazy advanced than them.
And then you have a Predator who is just on Earth being a hunter. Like, he's not trying to he's trying to quietly hunt. He's not trying to wipe out a civilization. He's not trying to activate a pyramid. You know, like it's a very basic story. The only time that, if they ever want to go a little crazy, and if they ever secure the rights to it, the Bad Blood Predators. Throw me a Bad Blood. Are you familiar with a Bad Blood Predator, Zach?
No.
So Bad Blood Predators are essentially like exiled predator tribe that they don't get along with anyone else, and sometimes not even themselves. Like, they're very colorful. They're very like they don't hunt with honor. They'll kill anything and not even clean it. Like they'll just be like, you know, haha, like I can kill because I can. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times like predators, like when they see a bad blood predator, they'll like hunt, they'll go after it. So yeah, like they're here to cause problems. They want to get as much kills as possible, and then they don't care about evidence, and they don't care about like if you have a weapon or not. Like they'll kill anything. They're just here to have like a bloodlust. So you don't need to necessarily have that like be the main predator, but just be a part of the story. You know, like this predator, it starts out to be sort of like a traditional hunter where he's trying to go after the biggest prey he could find. But then, like, I don't know, halfway through, you have a bad blood predator that shows up and is just ruining its time. Like, it's ruining the hunt. It's mm-hmm. you know, there's a little bit of tension between, you know, the predators that showed up. Or, well, I forgot, the Yucatanis? The alien race of what the predators are called.
Oh, the Yotja? Yotja?
Yochas, like, they're here, and they're just like, okay, now you can see their hierarchies. You don't need to show me dumbass, like, super predators or super, like, genetic modified versions. Because yeah. That's, like, the far deep end. I don't want to see that. And if you do show me that, though, show me getting their ass kicked, like, really quickly, you know? Like, show me them basically, I don't know, kind of being sort of, like, being dealt with in a correct manner, not just like, I don't know, Olivia Munn just jumping on its head.
Yeah.
He basically borrows it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm again very particular only because the comics, I grew up reading more of the comics. And then they made more sense. Like in a story, they're well, you don't need a long series. They're very basic things. Even in a recent Predator comic that came out the last like 4 years, maybe 3 years ago, see Predators, when like a few of them came to Earth, people have hunted them. Like they threw a lot of people at it, but like they were able to capture Predators and then strip them of their modern technology and of their like, you know, advanced technology. And basically the Predators were able to fashion their own armor and weapons out of like wood and, you know, scraps of metal and make like a very hobo version of their armor. And it like dishonors them because basically, like, you know, when you get captured as a predator, you're supposed to kill yourself and, you know, not leave evidence behind. Like you failed as a warrior, but there's a version, this like version of Predator has like one last job to do because of like, you know, it goes, oh, it's like will to avenge itself is stronger than its will to kill itself in honor. So it's a cool story. Like but that was like a subplot to this comic. And that was like cool about it. Like, you know, it wasn't the huge focus. It just happens to be, hey, there's like this, you know, makeshift armor predator running around. It kind of reminded me of this. I thought maybe the Predator lost its helmet and it just made one, but then the bone helmet happens to be like as advanced as the metal helmet. Mm-hmm. So that part confused me. But yeah, any last thoughts about this besides pretty much that this was an awesome action movie?
Nope. Yeah, it's awesome. And yeah, hopefully you get more like this one. Like we've explored modern day enough, I think, for right now. Let's get some crazy like anthology predator stuff going on.
Totally. I mean, if they ever like say, hey, you know what, we can make even more money somehow if this was a TV series where every like 30 episodes, like a whole different decade, or recurring survivors where, you know, maybe like it gets passed down between groups. They sort of they could do that, right? Where it's like, hey, this Native American tribe told these like Vikings or something, and now it's Vikings versus predators because they like, you know, they saw some paintings or they heard some traders talk about a monster, and then, you know, I'm pretty sure the Predators are going to be not be happy the fact that one of their warriors are taken down. So they're probably come back and be like, okay, we want a rematch or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also saying, like, did your Hulu only give you one big commercial in the beginning and then just no more commercials?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually thought the movie was going to be broken up by multiple commercials, but it was just straight up like I watched one commercial and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like prepared for like commercial breaks during this movie. Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the Hulu movies, they had commercial things. This is the first time at least I remember vividly where just no commercials during it.
I think they might not like their stuff because this is obviously their original movie. Like I don't. They might not put as many commercials in there or something. It's something like they just like grabbed from like our studio or something.
Gotcha. That's cool to hear. I'm fine with that. Go Hulu. Do more of that, please. Don't try to charge you more for commercials than inside your own production thing.
So I think you also saw the weirdness I described last week, Chris, of Lightyear.
I did.
Oh man.
I have so many thoughts about that, too.
Yeah.
One, why are they in this planet in the first place? That I guess they were terraforming, checking to see if it was suitable.
Yeah.
Like they Buzz got... and his small band of people are exploring this planet for resources?
Well, I think the computer told them it was, like, suitable for human life or something, I guess, right? And they was like, oh, go explore. It's like, you want to explore it? And it's like, yeah, let's do that.
But then the computer messed up on, like, scanning the rest of things.
That just, like, it's, like, extremely hostile, like, alien life.
Extremely hostile bugs, and then yeah. Plant life that just wants to grab things. There's no danger, it seemed. Like, if you had the right tool, you can get out of it. It didn't seem like it could kill you? I don't know. And then it also makes it seem like, is the air breathable?
I guess it was, because they're like eventually are just walking around with like no helmet on. So I questioned the computer's like criteria for what is a habitable human planet. Like,
right. I mean, I figured they would scan the planet before they land, or
yeah.
Have some sort of camera drones or something. I don't know.
I guess it's so, sort of like Buzz is like he's super impulsive and wants to do everything himself. That's like his lesson he's learned, I guess.
He doesn't really seem to learn a lot of that, but we'll get into that. All right, so Buzz Lightyear, he's sort of like a impulsive veteran ranger who basically like. He's got good intentions, but just sort of doesn't know how to focus it right. Because,
he won't accept, like, he wants to do it himself. Like, he thinks he's the one who can do it, like, and then he doesn't need help from anybody. Like, he'll handle it himself. Like,
right. Because that was, like, the thing in the beginning. But unfortunately, like, I'm not sure if that would have altered the beginning of the movie, right? Even if he sent the rookie's help, would that have prevented the ship from getting crashed?
If they both could have pulled up on the sticks together, they would have like cleared the mountain.
Would have that made a difference? I mean, because I feel it was. I don't know. It's, well, I guess that's the ambiguous question. Like, well, we would never know.
I think that's the implication, is that if he had gotten help from like the rookie, and like then they would have like maybe been able to pull up. They could pull up it harder, and they would have been able to, like, clear the mountain possibly, and they would have never gotten crashed.
Right. Okay. I just assume that basically, like, we're not supposed to know if that would work or not. Because, yeah, Buzz is right. Like, he feels bad. But I also feel like it probably wasn't his fault. I mean, yeah, it just seemed like it was either him or it was going to be, like, the other woman, like, his partner, that was going to basically cause that. It was like a no-win situation. To me, it looked that way. Again. So then Buzz, like you said last time, Buzz is
volunteers to experiment, to do test trials, to do hyperspace travel, which every time he does, ages everything around him by 4 years. He travels 4 years to the future. And instead of sending a robot to fly this, he sends himself, which I was like, wait a minute. Like, you couldn't have an autopilot to test this? You have to send, like, a human being all the time?
Yeah.
So...
Well, the crazy part is, like, so, like, the first part of the time, he's like, oh, it's been... What was it? It's 4 years. It's like, oh, it's been 4 years. All right. But then he just keeps doing it. He's just like, all right, I'm just going to.
Yeah, no breaks. Just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like almost like he blows like 60 years go by?
Yeah, he blows 60 years. And then I think when he finally does like his like he achieves hyper speed or whatever. But that's then it's like another 20 years. So then it's like it's a total time of like is like 80 years that he like blows in like a week or a day or something.
No, it's like a week because it's like yeah. Every time he comes back, it's like beating on him. And that's why like the cat had so many years to kind of calculate a better formula.
Yeah.
Which, OK, we'll talk about that because that's like the MacGuffin of the movie, the formula. Mm-hmm. So the cat's calculation works. And then it's like, instead of, I don't know, writing it down or telling anyone else, they don't do that.
Well, it's weird because like the higher ups after like Buzz's like best friend dies, like the new guys, like, well, I'm like, we're staying here. I don't care. Like if you try to like leave, like you're getting arrested now. Like.
Yeah, it seemed weird that the new generation of people are just fine where they are. Like they have no intention of leaving. But it's like mm-hmm. You live in a constantly hostile planet. You know you're not from here.
Yeah, you have to live under a shield where if the shield dropped down, you'd be like overrun by bugs and like killer plants.
Fine. Like yeah, like this is not a great. And they're just fine with it. They're like, no, this is better. This is good. Like how? How's this any better?
Yeah.
So that's like the bigger question. But then they just ignore the space travel part of their mission. Like I understand, like they've lost contact to Star Command. Mm-hmm. But Star Command also made no attempt to find them too.
Apparently not. Yeah.
They just didn't care. It's like what? I don't understand how this works. Is it supposed to be like a WALL-E like future where basically they're the only remnants of Star Command? But then it's like, no, they want to get back to Star Command or something. They want to go home.
It seemed like they were on like a sort of like Enterprise, like they were like an exploration ship or something, trying to like explore, they're exploring galaxy, but they're on their way home. But then it's like, oh, this planet popped up that like could hold human life. Let's explore it. Like,
so yeah, I'm like, then they just sort of lose focus of what their true mission is. Mm-hmm. And then I get like they just don't want to explore anymore, so there's no more space rangers because your goal is to just live on this planet and do stuff. I don't know what they're doing.
Fight bugs. Yeah.
Every day just like bug protection and building rocket ships that you can't send anyone on. Mm-hmm. So I get why Buzz wants to get the hell out. So I guess I'll talk about the formula for space crystals. I get like the cat knew the formula and then just made a diagram of how much percentage of like goo it needs to make a crystal.
Yep.
I don't understand why the cat couldn't do it again. Like, you know, like the point is that like you know, it only has one crystal and it can power like one ship at a time, but I'm jumping ahead to the end of the movie. Wouldn't they just make another crystal?
Well, didn't they blow up the crystal, like the fuel, like because like the guards were shooting at them and it blew up or something, so they can only make the one?
No, he fell on the laptop that had the formula. But oh, I think everything else is fine. But it's like, isn't the cat a robot? Like, don't you have a recording? Yeah. Like, don't you have the memory? That's the part I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And I understand the cat died, or it's like
they had to consult another robot that died. But it's like, no, like the robot had 80 years to calculate this formula. Like, you have to have a recording somewhere in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the part that is confusing, where it's like they're just fine of where they are. But anyway, before that, because there's that alternate Buzz that I still can't figure out the loop with him. Like, he, so there's a twist to the movie, which
yes.
I didn't see coming.
Yeah, I didn't say it yet last week, but
yeah. Yeah, now I get it.
Zurg is Buzz, like old Buzz, who's voiced by
James Brolin.
James Brolin.
But I'm confused about how this Buzz traveled. He like he did like a Tenet, where like he flew into the future, and then from the future tried to come to the past. But he's been doing it for
his timeline. He came back and was going to get arrested by the new guy, and so he's bailed again, and then he flew farther into the future. He flew farther in the future and he found like his like all his like robot tech, I guess. And then,
made that robot tech?
It was just abandoned, I guess. Like some civilization like made it apparently, and then just left. And then he can like he can come back this far, but like it's like he needs the, like the fuel cell to go farther because he can only get like back to this point. It's just a weird like arbitrary like you can't just go like a couple like 20 more years in the past or whatever. Like
yeah, like it had to be this moment his crystal gave up.
Yeah.
Maybe because he knew it's like a Avengers thing where like at this point this is the only place where the crystal is here the most.
Maybe, yeah.
It was convenient, but I get it. But I don't understand like how he aged. Like, did Buzz spend time doing something for all those times where he spent 20 years in the past? Like, how did he get this old?
I think he was like working, like he was converting the ship and like turning into a time machine or whatever. That's what he spent all his like years working on.
Ah, I see. So he spent time in the future that long.
Yeah, because it was like an alien ship, and he'd like turn it into like a time machine, basically.
That makes sense. Okay, I missed that part. I was just confused because then it's like, wouldn't you just take the crystal and then keep going back in the past, and that way you have more time to work on the ship, or you have to be in the present and then convert into a time machine. I don't know. I'm just thinking about the infinity loop that just doesn't exist in this movie. So I did mind the Zurg twist, because that was pretty cool with like him being his own worst enemy, and he's the Buzz that basically never grew up, mm-hmm. you know, never evolved. He sort of just was stuck in the past, and it's killing your old self, literally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was going to be like a Looper situation where Buzz would destroy something to destroy Zurg, you know, like the ship or the crystal or something kind of like to like say he sacrificed it. Like it was like the right play.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't, because basically he's Buzz Lightyear is like Star Wars, a situation. He's able to put like the Supervan ship into a death mode, like a self-destruct mode.
Yep.
That I couldn't figure out like at that point what other Buzz's motive was besides like I'm just gonna kill Buzz, I'm gonna kill him because like I'm mad.
Yeah.
So I mean, it wasn't like he had a backup plan. It was just like, well, if I can't have a future, like you can't either. I don't know. I just want to know what that part was. It was a generic bad guy thing. Scary, because you know, you hate other Buzz when he kills the other cat. Mm-hmm. That was pretty heartbreaking, but sort of like, like it. No, well, no.
It's so sudden, just like stop. It's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, cool. The other crew member a little distracting sometimes, like the techie Waikiki like bumbling crew.
Yeah,
it was okay. I couldn't figure out what their problem was. Like, they were on like trainee duty or like kind of like community service, and that's why they got like shut out from the main city, I guess. It was, that was the thing.
Yeah, they're cadets for like whatever the it's not Space Rangers anymore. It's like just like the like colony defense force or something. And then but then they're like they just got like got banished to like this outpost or something, or like they just like snuck out this outpost, and they'd never been in combat or like never done anything.
I see. Yeah, it seemed like they were just there for fun or community service. But I didn't mind them. I feel like they're a little late in the movie to be an addition because Buzz has no like reason to trust them, which I get because he's like, yeah, like you're all gonna die if you come with me.
Mm-hmm.
It works out. I do like the goofiness of it, but it was a little distracting when basically. They don't play a they sort of play a major role at the end, but they don't really do like a team up at the end. It's more like, oh, like we're gonna get a ship and Buzz gonna pull like a Superman to sort of push the ship up. I was like, is Buzz gonna sacrifice himself here because he's like burning up in the atmosphere, right? Like I was
yeah
like okay, like how is Buzz able to withstand re-entry?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think his suit was re-entry proof. But it works. He was able to do something.
I feel like he probably could have used, like, there's like a lot of times where he could have used his wings up to, before that moment. This is like, oh, right, I have wings and a jetpack on this thing. Like when their, like, ship crashed into, like, the desert or whatever, and they were stuck. Like,
mm-hmm.
and apparently he can, like hold like I guess because in space it was weightless or whatever, like I guess it wouldn't work on the planet, but like if it's that powerful, like I mean try to do something with like your ship when it crashed, just like
well or, crazier they, too
they're all wearing like Space Ranger like armor at that point, like when they all just like activate their jetpacks, like fly the ship somewhere or something, or just fly somewhere else, like you're not stuck, like apparently they were never stuck there, they could have flown away like with their jetpacks.
I understand your ship can't light your speed, but can't you just take off and just fly into space and get off at least this horrible planet? You know what I mean? They're able to like just go outside of the orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go to another planet? Like start colonizing other planets and stuff. Like don't just like other planets don't have like, you know, the vine and the bug problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was like, all right, this is kind of like you just have to really turn your mind off and just sort of go with it. And I mean, that was like the general audience vibe where it's like, how does this Andy's favorite movie when he's 10? There's a lot of depressing themes and like,
yes,
logic that I'm like, Buzz isn't like he's an okay character. It's just like you have no time to really know him because basically he's constantly trying to get the hell off this planet.
Mm-hmm. And like blowing an entire lifetime in like a week.
Right. He's not living. And that was like the point was that, yeah, like why? See, the message just gets muddled because is it like, is life worth living if you don't really have a life? Right.
And also, you need other people. You can't do everything by yourself. Like.
Yeah, he didn't have his Ranger crew anymore. So. Like,
yeah,
he kind of lost his purpose. However, even when he gets it back at the end, spoiler alert, like they make a new Space Ranger crew. What are they doing?
Yeah, because they're leaving the planet to go like, well, they get like a distress call. So like they're going to like they're leaving the planet to go do stuff. Like, why, yeah, everyone leave the fucking planet. Like,
see what I mean? Like, what is happening? Like, you mean to tell me all these years that you've been here, that Buzz has been, like, doing things, and you've been hearing distress calls, you've just been turning it off?
Well, I guess because they didn't have the fuel needed to, like, go, like, leave and or send people in, like, ships to, like, far enough away to, like, go do stuff. But now that at the end of the movie, they figured out the like formula again. So now they have the hypercrystals, but they're still not gonna leave the planet. They're just gonna stay on this planet. It's horrible, but they're gonna send Buzz and his team off to like do stuff.
So what's stopping Buzz just go home? Like, you know what? You know, yeah. I'm gonna like. That's the thing. Like
he goes back to Earth. And it's just like a wait, like it's like apocalypse. Like because it's been like 80 years, whatever. Like it's like an apocalyptic wasteland now. Like
Earth he ends up destroyed. In like Wally.
Yeah.
He ends up with the, you know, like that's what I'm like. Is this how they tie it in?
Yeah.
So I, you know, like I just want it to seem like a little bit of like story closure that way. I'm more confused about that. And then I really don't like the fact that this is supposed to be like a meta movie to the Toy Story movie. I don't like that at all.
It makes no sense. Like, is it why is the Buzz toy so different than this? Like, why is it Tim Allen and like a really like 50s version? If it, this is like gritty, like, you know, like gritty 2022 like reboot version.
Yeah, it's the grim, dark Buzz Lightyear that no one asked for, and then it just did not exist in 1995.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's just like, this is like, a movie that is, if you just said this was a reboot of Buzz Lightyear toy, you know, enjoy, don't question anything else, I'm fine with it. It's a weird Disney live action of something, you know, and I'm just like, all right, I get it. But because this movie kind of has the audacity to say, yeah, this is also tied into the canonical Toy Story parts. And like, what and how?
Mm-hmm. Like, Andy was just a super advanced 10-year-old who, like, probably loved when he grew up in, like, whatever the equivalent of Christopher Nolan movies were in the Toy Story universe. He's like, oh, man, I'm into, yeah, give me that stuff.
That, too. And then it's like, his parents were like, taking him to see this?
Yeah.
And it's a lot to like
makes no sense, like the Toy Buzz compared to this Buzz. If the Toy Buzz came from this movie, it makes no goddamn sense. And like, there's no universe where there would not be a Sox toy in the Toy Story universe. If this movie exists in the Toy Story universe, there's no universe where they would not make Sox toys. All like, Sox would be like the Baby Yoda of like the Toy Story world. Like, Sox, like everyone would have a Sox.
Yeah, Sox is a cool character. It really grows on you.
Yeah.
Who is Sox played by?
I think it's one of the guys, it's just one of the Pixar like director guys, like Peter Sohn. Like, he's just like a producer director guy at Pixar.
Ah, I see.
But yeah, I like, he like, did you think he was like he definitely had like it was like similar to like Baymax, where he's just like this like he's super lovable, but he's also like super like logical, and it's just like he's just saying things like as they are, just like with no like sugarcoating.
Oh, it's like the C-3PO of the group, and it's pretty funny. I did not expect to enjoy him as much, because it shows that like basically Buzz was like distrustful of robots, but he's able to like kind of get over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love all of, like, whenever Sox is, like, computing something, where he either, like, actually says beep, 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 or he, like, is, like, meowing. Like,
yeah.
He's like, meow, 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 meow. We have a 22% chance of surviving.
Now, that was pretty fun. That whole...
And just, like he always has, like, some sort of new thing. Like, he has, like, tranquilizer darts in his mouth, and he has, like, a flamethrower, and, like... It's like keep like adding like new like things that he has inside him.
Yeah. That's why like the evil version sort of has that like, yeah, he's just been hating you, Buzz. I think that's pretty funny, but I feel like I would have liked having that more more explored.
Well, did you see anything else, Chris, or?
Oh, no, that was a lot I watched this week trying to cram in things.
Yeah.
What about you, Zach?
Well, I guess I'll keep it in Disney Plus first. I saw all of the I Am Groot shorts that came out. I think they actually came out yesterday when we're recording this. So yeah, and they are very short. They're like 5 minutes each, not even. So you can watch all of them in like 20 minutes. And like totally inconsequential to like anything that's happening. Like there's nothing essential for like the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie or anything. It's just like they're just fun little cute little Groot adventures that like it's like, oh, he's taking a bath and something wacky happens, or like he finds like these like super tiny aliens under a rock and then they think he's like a god or like an enemy they have to fight and stuff. So or he's trying to like make like a group picture of the Guardians, and he's like blowing up the ship trying to like, because he's like exploding like glitter bombs and stuff to like make this picture. And it's baby Groot, so it's like the Groot between like from the end of Guardians, the first Guardians, to like the not teenage Groot from Guardians. It's like the Volume 2 Groot, not like teen Groot from Endgame. Like it's like it's baby Groot basically.
What do you see like Star-Lord in anyone?
You see Rockets in one, and that's pretty much the only other. It's the only other Guardians character. Like he's like Rockets in like one short, and then but the rest of it is just like it's basically just like Groot just like by himself, just like having some sort of wacky adventure. Do you like that? Like he's kind of like they keep like Groot's kind of like he's kind of a dick, which is fun. Like there's like the episode where like he like, finds the little aliens, like he kind of like accidentally like just, like destroys part of their society, just like. Like kind of just covered up and like casually walks away. He's just like, oh, all right. Or it's like a shape shifting alien that like, he has like a dance off with, and then like he like ends that in like a kind of like surprisingly dark fashion.
Damn.
So it's like they're cute, but it's like Groot definitely has like the baby Groot definitely has like it's like an edge. Like he's kind of like a little asshole sometimes. So it's fun. Yeah, I'd say if they're fun to check out. Like it will take you like basically no time at all to watch them on Disney Plus. So like not even 20 minutes. There's similar. I feel like they have similar vibes to like you know, like those like Maggie shorts they did for The Simpsons, where it's just like Maggie's having an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of I feel like it kind of has that, like that vibe a little bit, where it's just like yeah, just like it's baby Groot just like doing stuff, hanging out, and then like just like getting to like weird adventures. So. And it is Vin Diesel doing the voice still, so I don't know how much he got paid to do like this, but like another like crazy like just I'm saying I group payday for Vin Diesel
is between takes and like Fast and Furious.
Yeah, he's called them for like 20 minutes like one day and from the set just like I'm Groot. There you go, I'm done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those are fun. If you want to check those out, they're all on Disney Plus. There's five, and then I think they're making five more at some point in the near future. So, and then I also saw Bullet Train, which was the big theatrical release from this past weekend, which was overall like a pretty fun, over the top, ridiculous movie. Kind of has vibes of like Smoking Aces mixed with like definitely like. I mean, David Leitch, the director, directed Deadpool 2, so like definitely has some like Deadpool snark to it, and like there's one sequence in definitely where it's like they like basically break the fourth wall. But also he like co-directed John Wick, so there is like some of that like John Wick action. Although it's like John Wick's, but like also mixed with like I feel like kind of like maybe like Jackie Chan style like slapstick action where it's like, like Brad Pitt's like using like the environment against people, like just like oh I, there's a water bottle here, I'm gonna hit this guy with the head with a water bottle and fight him off and stuff. So it's like John Wick action, but like with like funny like kind of slapstick stuff sprinkled through it. But Yeah, basically the setup is Brad Pitt is this assassin named codenamed Ladybug, who he's been out of the game for a while. He's been going to therapy, so there's this whole like funny like his whole character is like for the whole movie he's like kind of like spouting out this like psycho like stuff that his like therapist told him. He's trying to solve something like non-violently, even though he's an assassin. Like he's like it's like every time he's about to get in a fight with somebody, he's like, hey man, can we like talk this out? Like we don't have to like solve this with like violence, like. So he's like a very like zened out assassin. But basically he like, yeah, he gets what's supposed to be like a simple job. Like, oh, there's a briefcase on this bullet train in Tokyo. You have to just grab the briefcase, get off at a stop, and then deliver it. But then there's all these other like assassins and other like characters on the train that is like preventing him from like completing this job. And there's like everyone has like their own like agenda on the train. That and they all start like mixing it like. Clashing and conflicting, and
are they after the same person on the train?
Everyone is on the train for like kind of their own purpose, but then you kind of like you have to realize like everything is kind of like tied together, or like, there's a reason like all these people are on the same train together, and it's like kind of all tied like this like crime boss called the White, who's named the White Death. But yeah, so you get Brad Pitt trying to get the soup is pretty crazy. And then you also have like Brian Tyree Henry and Aaron Taylor Johnson are these like twins assassins who are like trying to like get this guy, like they're like they have the White Death's son who got kidnapped and they're trying to bring him back to the White Death. And then like Joey King is like this like her like nickname or code name is like the prince, and she has her own schemes she's trying to conduct on the train. And then like Bad Bunny shows up and he's like assassinating the wolf. He's like on the train for like revenge against someone on the train like poisoned like his entire family and like kill his wife at like their wedding. And so he's like he wants to like find out who did that and kill them.
Oh, so like everyone on the train is after like someone else on the train.
Yeah, they're either after someone else on the train or like it's like they're on the train and then like they're like it happens pretty quickly, but like Miles Square, but like the guy, like the son of like the White Death that like Brian Taylor Henry and Andrew Johnson are transporting, like gets killed. So now they're like, oh well, our guy was supposed to protect is killed, and then someone on the train killed this guy, so we gotta figure out who that is.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Because the bullet train made it seem like it's just a Brad Pitt like versus everyone on the train.
Yeah. It sort of has maybe like some like whodunit kind of like things. There's a lot of like setups that like it's and like there's like it's like introduce something and then later on they'll reveal like what why that was. It's like, oh, there's like a some for some reason there's like a poisonous snake, like so there's like a stolen poisonous snake on this train, like why is that? And then like 30 minutes later you'll be like, oh okay, that's why there's a poisonous snake on this train. So yeah, there's like yeah, like multiple motives, like multiple like setups going on, and they kind of like all kind of like come together at the end, in like this like big reveal. But it's fun. I feel like the beginning is a little ADD. Like there's like a lot of like flashbacks and cutaways to either a flashback like introducing someone's backstory or like a cutaway to like something. There's like a cutaway to like which is the Deadpool-esque sequence where it's like Brian Tyree Henry and like Aaron Taylor Johnson are like arguing about how many people they killed on their mission before they got on the train. And there's like it cuts to them like doing the job and like they're like counting to the camera, like they kill someone. It's like one. So it reminds me of, like that like dead from the first Deadpool, where, like he's like counting the bullets on his gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to that, which is like they're like actually like looking directly at the camera, saying like, "That's two guys. We killed two guys this time." It's like three guys. And yeah, then they have a lot of great back and forth banter with each other. Although there's a joke that I feel like they thought was like the funniest joke in the world, which is it's funny at first, but they drive it to the ground. Where like, Brian Tyree Henry is like obsessed with like Thomas the Tank Engine. It's like one of his character quirks. He compares everyone to like a character, like everyone's personality is like compared to like a Thomas the Tank Engine character.
Interesting.
So he's like, oh, you're a diesel. Like you're a pain in the ass. Like you're gonna be like a problem to deal with. But they just keep doing it like for like the entire movie. Like it's just constant Thomas the Tank Engine references. But it's like, all right, Someone thought this was like the funniest joke in the world. And there's also like some like tonal stuff with like, because the whole movie's kind of like this like cartoony over the top like snarky tone, but then Andrew Koji and Hiroyuki Sanada are in this movie, and they feel like they're from this other movie that's like kind of deadly serious and like not the same tone as like the rest of the movie, because they're in this very serious situation, and then like they don't really joke about things, and they're not snarky, so it's like
they don't match the tone of everyone else.
Yeah, they feel like they're in this like serious like Yakuza crime thriller movie, and then everyone's in like a Guy Ritchie like Smoking Aces style like snarky action movie over the top ridiculous thing. So I mean, they're both still awesome as always, but it definitely stands out. Like, oh, these guys like feel like they're like in a totally different movie. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I don't know if you need to rush out to theaters to see it, but like I would say definitely check it out at some point. Maybe when it comes out streaming, or like, I don't know where it end up streaming, but like maybe. Yeah, streaming or grab it on Blu-ray or something. But yeah, definitely super fun over-the-top action movie. Has like some John Wick in it. Some like that. Like it's basically David Lynch directed Deadpool 2 and like helped direct John Wick, the first John Wick. It's like a blending of like Deadpool 2 and John Wick. Like if you like threw those two in a blender.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it definitely is an action movie that I feel like. Is probably gonna get more of a cult following over time. I feel like it's doing well, but it's gonna be like when it's streaming, people will be like, "Wow, have you seen this movie?"
Yeah, I think the trailer's definitely made it like it's definitely way more like complex and like smart than the trailer. Because yeah, the trailer made it seem like, oh, Brad Pitt just fights everyone on this bullet train for like 2 hours or whatever. But yeah, it's a lot more like there's a lot of like more intricate like. Pieces falling into place, like this is like a kind of this like puzzle that's falling into place throughout for the whole movie, along with like fun, cool action sequences and stuff. So, and then I got a screener copy of this movie called Bring Him Back Dead, which I think came out a week or two ago on like video on demand and I think DVD and stuff. Yeah, DVD, video on demand, digital. And it seemed like from like the title and then like the stars, like Gary Daniels stars in it. He betrays his criminal gang and they're after him and they like he has to fight them off and like so it seems like, oh, this is a cool premise with like Gary Daniels, like this like awesome stuntman martial arts guy, like maybe we'll get some cool like B movie, like it has to be like a Scott Atkins movie where it's just like him just like be like getting cool fights stuff. It's very disappointing. it's super boring. Nothing really happens. There's a couple of little glimmers of like Gary Daniels like fight scenes are cool, but like not enough. It's one of those movies where it's just like they shot in the woods because it probably was like way cheaper than like anything else. They didn't. I think like regular media is like made a joke of like you don't need like a license or a permit to, like shoot in the woods. Like you just go bring a camera in the woods. Like it's like super cheap. this is what this movie. It just feels like, oh, we're just gonna go in the woods and just like shoot some stuff. It'll be like and just like
so. Killer.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of like just wandering through the woods. Or like they're or just in this cabin that like I feel like it was the cabin, it's like the director's cabin or like a friend of the director's cabin. And it's like, oh yeah, you guys can like use my cabin for the weekend and shoot this movie. It's fine.
I mean, you don't want to make fun of low budget movies for being low budget, but does it use the setting well at least?
No.
Oh boy.
It's just like. I mean, you can like do a movie in the woods where it's just like it's. You can still do like, oh, it, like you like cool, yeah, cool use of like the environment or something. But yeah, this is just like riding around. People are just like riding around in four wheelers, or just, like wandering through the woods, or like just a lot like. And then like just like flashbacks to try to make it seem like more dramatic than it is. But yeah, it's kind of just like a boring slog. I mean, there's like, there's definitely glimmers like Gary Daniels does some like cool like kicks or like some cool like, you know, karate martial arts moves, and it's just like, oh man, I wish there's like way more of this. Like, it seems like it's trying to be like a Tarantino kind of Reservoir Dog style thing, but like also the problem with that is like, it's like there's no clever dialogue. If you're trying to do that, mm-hmm. you need to like have like really like clever dialogue and like really clever like interesting characters. And everyone's just like a stereotype, like archetype, like you've seen this like, everyone before, and all the dialogue is just like very like cliche, like tough guy talk. Like it's not like there's not like interesting. It's not like any sort of like interesting like Tarantino-esque dialogue going on. Like there's no like pop culture like tangents or like any sort of like it's like tension building like dialogue scenes. It's just like go get this guy, he betrayed us, like we gotta kick his ass, like he got my diamonds, I want my diamonds back, like, because basically they pull a diamond heist, and then like they're like after the heist, like they go back to like this cabin, and they're waiting for like a buyer to show up, but then like Gary Daniels like betrays them all, and, like drugs them and like steals the diamonds for himself, and then so it's like their boss is like, go like kill him and get my diamonds back. But there's only three other people hunting him down, so he kills like one or two of them like halfway through, so it's like there's no one left to fight. He killed two of the guys. There's only two other characters in the movie. Like, who else is gonna?
Oh, it's like a small ensemble. Is it like a character study movie? Like, because it seemed like it should be more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it seems like they're trying to be like, oh, it's this like Reservoir Dog style like crime thriller. But then it's also trying to be like an action movie, because like we got Gary Daniels here. He's gonna fight some guys, but then he doesn't really fight anybody. There's like two fight scenes with him. They're like any sort of like extended fight scenes, but they're also like not really. They're like kind of like terrible and not great.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say skip this one. Maybe just go watch like Gary Daniels and like The Expendables or something, like, or some of the other movies like where he's done like the stunts or like was like an extra or something, or like a someone fighting someone else movie. I feel like he's got like a bunch of some other movies where like he like started that are probably like way better than this one. But he also like just has done a lot of like ton of like supporting character like stuff where he's just like he'll fight like Jean-Claude Van Damme or something, or like fight some other guy. So, but yeah, so I saw that, and then the last thing I saw is Thief, which is the very first Michael Mann movie. So this is like his feature film debut from Michael Mann. Also stars James Caan, which, so that's the main reason I was checking out, you know, to pay homage to James Caan, who passed away a couple weeks ago. And yeah, I got the Criterion Collection version from Netflix, on the Blu-ray. So I saw that version, which looks incredible. Like the Blu-ray version of this movie is, well, the Criterion version at least, like, looks amazing. And yeah, so 1981. So yeah, this is the first Michael Mann movie. James Caan is, if you can't tell from the title, he's a thief. He's like a jewel thief. And he basically kind of like he pulls like a at the beginning of the day, he pulls a job, and then he kind of gets like his like fence for the diamonds is killed by the mob, because his fence was like stealing money from the mob. But then the mob kind of like is like, hey, we're fans of your work, James Caan. Like, you should come work for us. And then he agrees to do it for like one job, because he wants to like earn money for it, because he basically wants to like get out of the thief game, the crime business, and like have like he's like dating this cashier, like, he wants to have like a family and a house and like have like a normal life. But yeah, he used to do like this one huge job in Los Angeles, to like steal like $4 million in diamonds. But it's this whole super elaborate, like, it's a safe, they like, it's like this safe with like five alarms on it. They have to figure out like where all the alarms go, and they have to like figure out a way to like cut into the safe. They have to use like a thermal lance, like this like crazy welding device, like into the safe. And it's definitely, it's like Michael Mann style. It's like very like you could see like the entire process of like like breaking into the safe and like getting all the equipment for the safe and stuff. It's very like in depth as far as like the process of like how you do this job, like how you like break into like a bank to like, and like how you rewire the alarms and like use like this lance to like get into the safe stuff. Also to like a crazy awesome like Tangerine Dream score. Like it's just like this like super this like absolutely awesome like Tangerine Dream, like it's like shredding guitars, like synth stuff, like score by itself is amazing. But yeah, it's just a super awesome like heist movie. Very into the process and a lot of dialogue where it's just they don't like dumb it down like for like the like you know like the slang for like this world. It's like they just like say like it's similar to Heat like all like the dialogue of Heat where it's just they're talking about like. Like you get the gist of it, but they're like using like they're not like saying like, oh, it's like, we got like this like burn job, but it's like, but they don't explain like a burn job is when you like use a you like well like use a like this like you have to burn your way into the safe. It's like this say like this like these like technical terms and just like expect you to like understand it.
So do they like explain it? Like there's like a someone asking those questions.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like he didn't do that. Like he didn't do that either. It's just like it's just like these guys are in this world. Like we're not gonna explain this world to you.
Oh, there's no handholding.
Yeah. You're in this world. You just have to like go. You're like going along with it. Like these guys are like very like entrenched in this world of like crimes and robbery and high stakes like. Robbery jobs and stuff and the mob but you can already see, right from the start, a lot of the Michael Mann like trademarks are here which then he'd go on next one after this was like Manhunter and then obviously like Miami Vice after that and like all the like he like all the other Michael Mann movies. So also a fun support guest too, like Willie Nelson is here for like a couple scenes. Like he's like James Caan's like mentor who's like dying in prison, and then like Jim Belushi is like James Caan's electrical guy, like he's the one like disables all the alarms.
I did not know that.
And I think it's also like the first appearance ever of like William Peterson and like Dennis Farina.
Young Farina? Does he have gray hair?
No. I mean, he has black hair. So it's like. Oh, it's also Jim Belushi's first movie ever too. So, a lot of introduction to the people in this movie. Definitely great movie to like watch if you want to pay respects to like James Caan too. Like James Caan is so awesome in this movie. Like he's wearing leather jackets. He's just the coolest person. but also you dig into like his like. Cause like he wants, it's like emotional side too. Cause like he has this picture of like he made of like this is what I want my life to be. Like it's like a house and like kids and like a wife and like money. I just want to get out of this gig and just have like a normal life. Like, but then he gets dragged into like this one last job by the mob.
That sounds interesting because it's very like classic. Crime story where a guy wants to go straight but you know has to do one last job obviously, but is it low stakes in the sense he just needs the money to get out?
I mean it's a huge job, it's like $4 million and he'll get like $830,000 of like 1981 money. So
ooh, okay.
He has false fronts, or it's like he has a bar in like a used car lot. So he just wants like I just want my, I want to get out of the, like it's becoming too, like, there's too much, like, risk every time now. I just want, like, I just want a wife and a kid and, like, a house and run my, like, car lot, my bar. But I gotta, like, pull this one last job so I can, like, be able to, like, afford all that stuff. And then not worry about anything basically for the rest of my life. Because it's this huge payday. But yeah, if you're into heist movies, if you're into, like, Michael Mann, if you want to, like, pay your respects to James Caan, I would say definitely check out Thief. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, a movie I need. I've heard about it. It's never on TV, and then, like, it's referenced in things just because Michael Mann's career kind of skyrocketed from there.
Yeah. I mean, it's got all of the, like, it's, like, super stylish. It's got his, like, you know, his, like, use of, like, lots of, like, night shots where it's, like, very, just, like, very, like, the lighting is perfect. Like, it's just, like, these, like, very, like, great, like, just, like, scenes at night of just, like, driving around. It's Chicago instead of Los Angeles. Oh, there's parts of it that take place in Los Angeles, but it's, like Chicago is, like, the main city. So there's all drive around Chicago at night, because that's like a big, like, Michael Mann thing. Just like we're just gonna, like, drive around the city at night with, like, synth music playing to, like, get the vibe of, like, what I'm trying to, like, set down for this. So, oh, it's actually on Prime Video. So if you want to check it out, it's on Prime Video. So
okay, definitely. Do a follow up where it's like, you forgot this part, Zach. You forgot about the Zurg twist.
Yeah. Well, there's that. I didn't spoil the end. Like, the end kind of gets, like, it definitely ramps up some stakes and stuff. So, I guess Rollerball now. That's my other James Caan movie I have to see.
I just gotta see, like, I've seen bits of the original Gambler. I've heard it, parts of it don't hold up well.
Gambler, the Kenny Rogers movie.
No. It's like there's another, like, James Caan movie, The Gambler.
I know. Is it
the original? They remade it with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's weird, because, like, there's also, like, the Kenny Rogers series, where it's, like, The Gambler.
Yeah, that's the other Gambler.
Yeah. But yeah,
no, that this is the one where it's like they don't glorify gambling; they make it seem very terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen that one either. So yeah, that's another one to throw on the list.
Like, again, there's a certain era of movies they just don't have on TV or even older movie channels or recommendations.
Mm-hmm. HBO Max and Prime Video are probably, like, the two, like, if you want to, like, watch, like, older, like, 70s, older than, like, the 80s movies. Like, I think, like, because HBO Max has, like, the Turner Classic Movies section. They have, like, kind of, like, older classics on there. And then Prime Video has, like, the MGM collection now and, like, a bunch of other, like, older stuff. So, because Netflix doesn't really have, like, a lot of, like, I don't think anything, like, really past, like, the 80s, I don't think. And or much of
they used to,
yeah,
they used to back but then instant video, instant watch was new,
but then everyone, like, pulled all their stuff back for their own streaming services. Like, Netflix doesn't really have any like they're like non-Netflix original, like, library stuff is, like, mostly, like, current stuff now. So but yeah, definitely check out Thief if you haven't seen it. It's a awesome like, heist thriller. And that's it for me this week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We've got all of our usual features up there. I've got reviews of Bullet Train and Prey and Bring 'Em Back Dead, if you want to read reviews of all those movies on there. We're going to be doing our commentary soon, so that'll be up in a couple weeks. I think we're going to be doing the Gary Busey classic, quote-unquote, Maneater from, like, a couple of years ago. I believe it was a Sci-Fi Channel movie. Where he has to track down a killer circus tiger that gets loose, and we're trying to tie that into, like, the Idris Elba movie that's coming out this month, Beast. if it's a lion. And all the other stuff, all the other usual stuff's up there as well. So I'll set y'all stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.